There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. So when building a solid structure, it's important to be precise, right? That's what the kids found out. You need to secure the foundation to the footers, footers to wall, and walls to header and roof. It just all has to be secure. Without that kind of precision, the slightest shift can send that building toppling down, or like Adele said, kaplooey. What if I told you then that the purpose of the parable is to shake us from our foundations, to mess with our hearing, and to realign our vision? Most of you are familiar with parables. You've probably heard them throughout your lives. And it's a style of storytelling that goes way back to the Hebrew prophets. As a storytelling device, the parable is sneaky, I would say. It has a way of drawing us into the story in a way that we think, "This could not possibly be about me. It's about those people." So we continue to listen to the story and we get sucked into it until all of a sudden, bam, we realize we are those people. I am that person in the story. Whoa. We are the ones who have eyes but do not see and ears who do not hear. But the parable helps us break down that barrier. It sneakily invites us to see ourselves in the story and then to hear in a new way. Denial falls away when all of a sudden we come face to face with truth. And once you've woken up, there's no way to fall asleep again. So this parable is unique. It's one of only three parables in the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that occur in all three of these. Curiously, some of Jesus' best parables, like the Good Samaritan, occur only in one of the gospels. But these three remain. The parable of the sower, the mustard seed, and the one from today, the tenants, gets repeated in Matthew and Mark and Luke. It seems that they concluded that no gospel account of Jesus' life would be complete without those three stories. So already when I hear that, I'm sitting up a little further on the edge of my seat and listening a little closer. So in this parable, the tenants are the focus. The tenants are very shrewd because they know the law, which is that land is passed down from landowner to the heir, to the son. And if there is no heir, then the land is passed on to the tenants who have squatters' rights. So they were thinking, we will carry out a plan to eliminate the heir and we will take the land. We get to be bystanders in that conversation that we see, and we see the very moment when the chief priests and the Pharisees realize that Jesus is talking about them. It's as if Jesus is saying, you are the landowners. What's the problem with the vineyard? Well, there's concentrated power and wealth. Only one landowner, only one heir. And we realize at this point, Jesus is shifting the power dynamic, and we see that this kingdom of God, it's not just for the Jews, it's also for the sake of the whole world. Unfortunately, though, this parable has been used for centuries to propagate antisemitism. Instead of viewing the Jews as part of God's story of love and redemption, this story has been used to exclude them. So if we read closely the verse 43, it says, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people that produce the fruit of the kingdom. The distinction here is not Jew versus Gentile, or slave versus free, or male and female, but rather between those who produce fruit and those who do not. So all of a sudden, I can see myself at the center of this story, and I bet you can too. At the foundation of this story, we can clearly see that Jesus is saying, this is about you, all of you, that the kingdom of God is seen and heard and felt in ways that go beyond these categories that we use to make sense of the world or to divide the world. And we are suddenly looking into a collective mirror. And we ask ourselves, what fruit am I producing? And together, what fruit are we producing together? Or are we not? These parables are meant to shake our foundations, to create a seismic shift that suddenly it is impossible to see and hear and love and be in the same way as before. Like any good parable, this one puts us smack dab in the middle of the story. And if we really have been listening, we hear that a response is required. No longer can we act as entitled tenants or power-hungry landlords. No longer can we rely upon our own inheritance to pull us through. Instead, we are tasked with taking care of the vineyard. In the kingdom of God, it seems there is just one job, and that is bearing fruit. Having a sense of entitlement won't fly in this kingdom because Jesus describes that we are to be bearers of fruit. So I ask you a question today. If the kingdom of God arrived right here and right now, how would you know it? What fruit or what evidence would lead you to say, there it is, I see it? I'm asking, not a rhetorical question. What evidence would you see to say the kingdom of God has arrived? I'm going to come over, Blytha. We would see Christ. What other ways? We would see love. Kristen. What was that? People with hope. With hope. What was that? We're all here. Right now. Do you mean the kingdom of God is here right now? What other fruit might we see? The sick would be healed.
Justice would be served.
Justice would be served. Yeah. What was that? The fruit of sharing. Yeah. We are to be planters in this vineyard and people who care for one another, who share the good news, who care for one another. So I ask you now, what is it that is being planted here in the fertile soil of this church? What is being planted? I want you to pray on that this week. Pray about that. What is being planted here? And how can we be good caregivers for that which God is planting? What kind of fruit might we see when God brings it to fruition? I pray that we would be awake enough to see it and to know it for what it is, the kingdom of God in our presence. With those eyes to see, I invite you to go into your week and look for the fruit of God.